From October Gallery in Philadelphia, this is ATN, Art TV Network.
This is an artist profile of Andrew Turner by October Gallery, an excerpt from the book Connecting People with Art by Mercer and Evelyn Redcross. Visit us on the web at www.octobergallery.com. Many artists over the years have played a major role in the October Gallery story. One such artist was Andrew Turner. I guess it was around 1988. This lanky, 6'5" individual walked into the original gallery location, 3805 Lancaster Avenue, with a handful of his art. I remember the hatchback red Pinto that he parked just outside the door. Evelyn and I were there, and he proceeded to display his work for us. We had heard of Andrew Turner from exhibitions he had done at the Sandy Webster Gallery and the Rittenhouse Square Fine Arts Annual, also known as the Clothespin Show. In walks Andrew Turner, with art rendered in a loose form impressionist style. Evelyn and I looked at each other simultaneously and wondered how we could present this art style to our customers. At this time, our gallery patrons seemed to prefer art that was more familiar to them, representative or figurative art. We call it realistic artwork because of its easily recognizable forms, almost portraiture, everyday black folks. In fact, I said to Turner that our customers were not used to his style and may not understand what was being said. I suggested that he add more strokes, more definition. Turner looked at me and said, "I try to paint like Miles Davis plays. You don't have to play all the notes, just the sweet ones." An analogy of the situation was that we'd been selling popular music like that of the Temptations, and now we had to decide if we could sell more abstract music like that of Miles Davis. The day Turner showed up marked the beginning of a relationship that spanned some 12 years. He made it clear that what he wanted from October Gallery was to put his name and his art in the spotlight. He said that he had seen firsthand our aggressive promotion of artists, and he wanted in. October Gallery loved the fact that Turner was a prolific painter. Turner loved to paint, and we loved to sell good art. In the beginning, our relationship was just that simple. Later, we became caring friends. As our organization traveled nationally, some 32 shows per year, and grew, it began to require large inventory. One critical difference in the work provided by Andrew Turner was that his art was always rendered as an original painting, a unique, one-of-a-kind picture. Once we took the time to teach patrons to see his work, they couldn't get enough. We remember Turner bringing art through the door when the acrylic paint was still wet. Now you must realize that acrylic paint dries almost instantly. So if the paint was still wet, when and where did he paint them? And I would say, "Turner, they're still wet." And he would look up, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, and say, "They're fresh." Ours was overall a great business partnership. We did not always see eye to eye, however. While Turner's approach to life and art was laid back, symbolized by his pipe smoking and long lunches, ours was to act quickly, perhaps too quickly. For Turner, gallery showings and public painting demonstrations were an honor. They brought him much-deserved accolades and a break from his daily painting routine. At such events, he might don his avant-garde clothes, complete with a silk scarf tied about his neck. And sometimes he'd flaunt a secondhand hat, cocked to fit his style. "I'd like to be treated according to the station to which I am accustomed," he'd say, when he fancied a special hotel, special restaurant, or special budget. On the other hand, Evelyn and I preferred to move from show to show with the emphasis on quality art and not on pomp and circumstance. Time was of the essence because we were responsible for art, artists, staff, and a successful event. We were in a hurry to make our mark in business and in the art industry. Turner often cautioned us to relax, slow down, smell the roses. We in turn counseled Turner to wake up and smell the coffee. We had other disagreements too about the how-to and when-to of business, but each of us always realized that together we made an unbeatable team. Turner painted many different subject matters on all types of materials and surfaces. His themes included, for example, a group of young boys sharing one ice cream cone, girls walking to church in their Sunday best, a high-stepping marching band on the streets of Chester, a boy lying on his stomach shooting marbles, and an abstract musical theme. I remember visiting Turner at his home in Chester, Pennsylvania. I noticed the vacant house next door. When I asked how long the house had been vacant, Turner replied, "For years." At that moment, Turner walked next door, pulled a ceiling tile from the drop ceiling of the vacant house, and indicated he would paint a jazz scene on that tile later that afternoon. Painting on old tables and chairs, old mattresses, window shades, found wood, or paneling was not out of the question for Turner. All sorts of discarded wooden objects became workable surfaces for him. Any defect, flaw, or damaged part of the surface was used to his advantage. A split in a piece of wood might become a seam on a lady's dress. A hole might become the button on a jacket. In Philadelphia alone, many collectors of African-American art have a piece of Andrew Turner art. His work can be seen in public spaces as well. We actually gave some of our patrons Andrew Turner originals as gifts. Some we sold with deep discounts. This was done to promote his art and to advance the educational process for patrons by offering an easy first-hand experience. The patrons, who were recipients by now, know the value of what they received. Since Turner didn't have prints at that time, October Gallery used this promotional strategy to quickly bring up the learning curve for his art in a short period of time. The educational component was essential. We learned that it had to be an intrinsic part of any art presentation. It was the same nearly everywhere we traveled. When we visited the homes of those interested in art, these vignettes, as Turner called them, captured the spirit of the occasion. I particularly enjoyed taking Turner with me for radio interviews and seminar presentations. He had the gift to speak about what was on his mind at the drop of a hat. He was very intelligent and extremely articulate. Andrew could spell almost every word in the dictionary. When Turner painted on site at our gallery for weeks at a time, we would often holler for him to spell a word. He would spell it and invariably weave in a word we were less familiar with. This was part of our ongoing education from Turner. Turner said that he lived one day at a time. He was a true artist, in every sense of the word, creative. He was not concerned with other people's opinions and marched to his own drummer. I've always said that Turner lived a life that most of us might never approve of. But if he were here today, he would probably say, "I lived life to the fullest. I enjoyed every day doing what I love to do, paint." The lyrics to the Frank Sinatra song say it best. The record shows, I took the blows and did it my way. Andrew Turner biography. Andrew Turner was born in 1944 in Chester, Pennsylvania. He was a graduate of Temple University's Tyler School of Art. His art has been featured in numerous solo exhibitions and group exhibitions in the United States and abroad. He taught art in grades K through 12 in the Chester, Pennsylvania public schools and in correctional centers. His appointments include artist-in-residence and curator, DeShong Museum in Chester, Pennsylvania. Lecturer at Widener University. Lecturer, Institute of Contemporary Art, University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. And he toured and lectured in the People's Republic of China. This has been an artist profile of Andrew Turner by October Gallery. Visit us on the web at www.octobergallery.com.